Hey guys, what's up? How are you? Can you hear me? Type yes, please. Thanks. Great. Welcome back, Roots Peeps, Relationship Geeks. You're the type of people like me that you perceive or have perceived at some point in your life in the past or recently that relationship was missing. A good relationship, a good intimate relationship was missing. So you're either currently in that perception or it's been a past perception of yours. And why that ties into today's topic again of the personal operating system is because whatever we perceive as missing, we value. We make it a priority. So when we do our personal operating system and the hierarchy of values and priorities, we see in this circle, relationship is high up. We want to learn about relationship. We want to have a good one. We want to, we care because we perceive that it's been lacking in our life now or in the past. So that's one of the ways we get to our values and priorities is and what we care about. If we're clueless, we start also looking around at what we think or have thought is missing in our lives. As John DeMartini says, our voids drive our values and they inform them. Remember, I grew up in a family where my folks were there, they fed me, they did an amazing job, and they weren't relationally very attuned. So, and I was a sensitive, empathic kid, so I grew up caring and valuing about relationship. And so anytime I would make friendships, I was the guy wanting to go deep, wanting to eat acid or wanting to do whatever to connect deeper. Because I kept, I was like missing. I was like, well, I want more. I want more of this. So I was the guy driving the conversations further along into being authentic. Even though I didn't have the skills, I was just trying and sometimes succeeding in my own kind of way, sometimes being overly pushy. And when we're overly pushy, we're putting our POS on someone else's. You ever had that happen? Someone is just kind of laying their trips on you. Doesn't feel great. I did this for years with men. I started a company called Revolutionary Man, which failed miserably after a couple of years of trying. And mostly I was trying to reach men who were not available. They weren't asking for personal growth help. They weren't wanting it. And I was telling them they needed it. So I was like the nagging wife with a shutdown man. I was in that role for a couple of years. And many years before that, in my own way, anytime someone didn't jive with my way of living, whenever I thought my way was better than their way, I would try to superimpose my POS onto them. And if you've had that happen to you, what do? You internally you're feeling judged usually and defensive. And then externally it might look like if they're a people-pleasing person, they might try on your way. If they don't have the balls or courage or spine to push back and be like, dude, stop laying your trips on me, they might just swallow them whole, right? They might just buy your way because they want relationship with you. They want to connect with you. And I certainly had friends like that, and I dated women like that. Hey, you should really be into climbing and skiing and shit because that's what I do, and that's attractive to me, so you need to do that. So women that didn't do that would try to get into those kind of sports for me because they liked me and didn't want to lose relationship with me. And it would turn into a big shit show whenever we'd go climbing or whatever because they were there for me, not for themselves. And they were going way outside of their values, right? And it ended up, tanking pretty much every time. Any climbing date I had with a girl always ended in like a total disaster until I met a girl who climbed. And then it was like, oh, game on. Cool. We've got the same kind of operating system here. We jive at the same level, and she was actually a stronger climber than me, which was humbling. But she, you know, we had a decent relationship for a while until what happened? She wanted kids and wanted to get married, which was I was anti-kids and anti-marriage. She was 4 years older than me. And so now she's wanting to put, you know, something she values tremendously on me, and I'm not ready. So what happened? We broke up. Had I betrayed myself, though, and wanted to be with her, I, you know, could have married her, and then I would have resented her because I would have, you know, not been ready. And a lot of people find themselves in marriages like that. It's pretty intense. I work with those people. So I'm giving you a number of different examples here to keep painting the picture around the personal operating system and how, if you don't understand this, at a base level here in life, you are going to frustrate a lot. And you will be around people where they're going to be left feeling judged by you when you try to lay your cool personal growth journey or whatever on them because you really care about it. And if they're not asking for that, then it's mostly a waste of energy and time. However, if you're a relationship coach type person like me and people want that, they will pay you to learn what you're doing around your own values. And that's pretty cool because they want that in their own life. They have a perceived void and they're like, hey, no, I really want a great relationship. Can you help me with that? See the difference between that? There's a nice fair exchange there versus someone who doesn't, they're maybe in a miserable relationship, but they don't want out. They're fine with it. On some level, they keep doing it. They're not asking for help, etc. But I come in with my revolutionary man thing and I try to get them to change. You know, it's not going to happen. Another time we see this, and then I really want your questions because ideally you did the homework and you have questions. You're like, wow, I'm confused. I don't get it. Whatever, you need to bring the questions because it's going to help everyone else who might be slightly confused here. So remember, the personal operating system is a set of values and priorities in a hierarchy that is the way you live your life already. We could look at every single one of you and see your POS. It's laid out right now. It's not something you have to figure out. It's there, as is demonstrated by your actions. Now, some of you lay it out and you're like, oh, that's not what I want it to be. Then you're in the business of changing it. And my values are changing constantly because I'm into growth and development. Anyone on the growth development path, their values over the years will continue to change as they grow and evolve, right? I used to be into certain things that I'm not into anymore. I've grown out of them. But back in the day, climbing, for example, was a top priority for me. I would move everything out of my schedule. I would blow people off. I would lie to people so that I could go to climbing because I cared most about that because I was really stuck in my ego-centric self game, you know, more of a narcissistic stance, and it was all about me. What can I do to just get a hit of dopamine for my own life? I didn't really, even though I really wanted a relationship, I was pushing everybody away with my self-importance. So you're going to find when you do the exercise that it may not jive with what you really want. That means that's just a good feedback loop, right? It's feedback that I'm not living in the way that I really want to be living. I'm out of alignment here. I want this to be different. I'm playing it safe. I'm scared. I'm stuck in a rut. I'm in my habits. So we can take any category of life, whether it's your physical health and fitness, your money challenges, your relationships with your family, your social situation, etc. And we could look at, are you living according to your highest priorities and values? And most people are not. Most people are subordinating. This is a really key concept here. Most people are subordinating to a fantasy of who they think they should be. based on their religion, culture, media, parents, you name it. All the introjects that we swallow whole without question run our lives. So the badass warrior person says no thank you to that and begins a personal growth journey to discover what they really care about and then lives according to their own telos, their own mission, on their terms. And that's, you could say, is exceedingly hard to do in a world of medication and distraction away from our essence. You could say that. And I think that might be true on some level. And that's not an excuse to not be who we are. So anyone on this call, you care about being you because that's attractive to other people. If I'm in a relationship with you and you're living according to someone else's values and priorities, that's not attractive and I will leave you over time because I'll sniff that out, right? So subordinating to what you think other people want leads to dissatisfaction, misery, depression, loneliness, you name it. So the personal operating system, I keep thinking about teaching a whole class on this because it's so paramount in life and it's so paramount to relationships. So another example, you ever go to the restaurant or the train or the bus station, the subway, wherever you live, and you look at someone, it's a couple, let's say, and you can tell they're married, and one of them is staring at their phone the whole time. And the other one might be staring off into space or looking at the other person, or occasionally they might have conversation, but the other person keeps coming back to their phone. Or you're at the soccer game and there's a bunch of parents there. There's a bunch of kids playing soccer. And what are half the parents doing? They're staring at their phone. Now, I used to judge the shit out of this behavior as a parent. I was like, I can't believe these parents can't even watch their fucking kids play soccer and be present. Now I get why they're doing that because I have this tool and I understand this. Well, what's going on there? Do they hate their kids? Do they are their kids just, you know, like too much for them? Do they hate soccer? Do they just, you know, are they really just self-absorbed? No, and it's none of the above. They're a human being like you and me, living according to their operating system. This is how they operate. And they don't care about soccer as much as they do whatever's important to them in their life. And as a parent, sometimes you got to go to the soccer game and or the martial arts class or the dance recital or whatever, or the dance practice. And after a while, it's like the same thing over and over. And so you're eventually going to pull out your phone and look, check your email and look at Facebook or whatever, Instagram, whatever's on your phone. And you're going to search and open things that you care about. So if it's the news for you, you're going to look up that. If it's you're running your own business, you want to see if any sales have come in, you're going to look at that. If you are in, you know, someone's after you and you're in debt and you've got people calling you and creditors and the bank and people are like, your house is foreclosing, you're looking at your phone to see, am I going to like be able to put food on the table tomorrow? Is that wrong? Not at all. But we make that kind of behavior wrong all the time, right? We judge other people based on how they're living their lives, the choices they make. But they're just like you. All they're doing is living according to how they operate, their highest value thing. That's all they're doing. It's not bad or good. It's not right or wrong. It's just what's so. And when we start grokking this and getting it, it's so relieving because then our judgments of them make sense. We see, oh, I just don't care about the things they care about. Like I live in a neighborhood where everybody on Monday night and Sunday watch football and they all kind of go over to each other's houses and everybody has these massive TV screens and they're all drinking beer in the middle of the day and that's what they value. Is it wrong? No. It's just not what I care about. So do I go over and hang out with them? No, I'm the weird guy in the hood because I'm not going to do things I don't care about. Once in a while, I will. In certain contexts, I will be like, okay, I got to suck this one up. And I do. But I'm doing it consciously and actively, and it's kind of an interesting practice. You know, my kids choose their friends. I don't get to choose my kids' friends. And then my kids' friends, I'm now friends with their parents. Sometimes I like the parents. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I resonate. Sometimes I don't. So I have to make choices, right, around this stuff. So when we're in an intimate partnership, this is where the friction is. This is the source of conflict, putting your POS on your partners and them putting theirs on you. And the only way to have a really good relationship is if you honor and respect the difference and you have each other's back on what you care most about. And if you can't stomach it because it's so low on your values and it's too challenging for you, then you will leave, or you will somehow sabotage that relationship, or they will, and it will end. Okay, a couple more points, and then I want to hit your questions. I don't want to say this. I hang out with people who mostly support my values. Those become my friends, right? And when people come along and challenge what I care most about, personal growth, relationship, family, starting a business, when people come along and challenge that, I'm not interested in them. If they want to make small talk about stuff that's not that, I'm not interested. Again, is it bad? No. Is it wrong? No. It's just me caring about what I care about and not resonating, right? That's all it is. And usually we attract someone who's going to challenge our hierarchy of values and priorities, usually. And that is a good thing, because it brings you into balance more, brings you into center and the middle. Because if you just live according to your values and priorities and you never pay attention to anyone else, you won't have any relationships. And there's people like that, right? Professional athletes are a really good example. Musicians, rock musicians, rock stars, they value maybe sex or short-term relationships, but they value and care about relationships to the degree to which they have them. And I wrote a post, how much intimacy can you tolerate? Same kind of thing. So people will set their lives up according to how much intimacy they prefer. So if I'm a traveling consultant and I'm away from my family 5 days a week out of seven for years, and I have little kids, that demonstrates on one level how much I'm interested in those relationships, right? You could make the argument, well, that person is a provider and that's how they show love. I hear that too. And that's one way of showing love. Another way of showing love is actually being in the home and being present. Another way is to make a ton of money and give your kids whatever you want. And again, not one's not better than the other. There's not a right or wrong. It's just preferences. And the more we give ourselves permission to live according to our own POS, the more fulfilled we're going to be. Because you're subordinating, I guarantee you, in some areas of your life to other people's trips and programs and how they operate. And that's supposed to suck. You're supposed to suffer there. You're supposed to be in pain and get annoyed and all that shit. We aren't really, we have to earn fulfillment, right? That's why the be happy bullshit stuff around everybody selling is nonsense. Because people want like instant gratification for happiness. I want to feel good right now. I don't want to earn it. Feeling good from the inside out requires earning it. That's figuring out what your values are, what your priorities are, and living according to that, and not worrying about what other people think and not letting them stop you from being who you are. All right, that's probably plenty. I'll pause there. I could go on and on, but I'm going to pause and see if you have any comments or questions or challenges with the homework, or you're not getting this, or you're, you know, people have usually a lot of questions here if you've done the homework. Because you're going to be like, well, that's not what I want it to be. Or, yeah, but. You might have some yeah, buts. So bring them on and we'll clear them up. You can raise your hand. You can type it in. I prefer the hand raise so we can go back and forth. Jessica, what's up? You there?
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I am.
Great.
Hi. Wasn't planning on asking a question, but I thought I'd seize the opportunity.
Okay.
I'm wondering what you recommend or suggest for reprioritizing your POS and restructuring your life accordingly, and how to create that environment around you when there may be resistance or, you know, the usual reorganizing.
Not maybe resistance. There will be resistance. Absolutely. So give me an example. Like what is your current top three on your POS, say your top three values and priorities?
My top three?
Yeah.
I actually don't have it written out. I'm in the process of writing it.
Okay.
I would say a healthy routine is the top one. And education.
Uh-huh.
Or studies.
Okay. And where, and that is, this is what you want it to be, or that's what it actually, your life demonstrates?
That is what it is.
Uh-huh. And then did you say you wanted it to be something else so that you could start moving towards changing it?
That's actually where I'm my life is already going that way, and so I'm restructuring my POS to fine tune the flow.
Okay, so
that I can from a stronger place.
All right. So this is a little too vague for me. Ask me when you have this written out and you're clear, because then I can give you really specific suggestions on what to do. And you're going to get this question answered indirectly with someone else's question, because someone else has this exact question, but I need a specific concrete example. What are your top 3 to 5 values and what do you want them to be? And then we can answer that question.
Answer what question?
The question I think you're asking, which is how do I change it? And how do I deal with the resistance of people that, you know, might not like it or are going to get upset or whatever. That's what I hear your question being.
Right. So, yeah. So not so much the how to change it, because that's probably a pretty deep process to continue doing that every day, but also, but more so the best way to approach that change in relating to others.
Okay, I'll answer that question. And then anyone else that has a question that I'm talking about, that how do I move how it is versus how I want it to be, please ask me that question. But you got to have your homework done so that we can go specific on it. All right, so Jessica, I'll answer the second question you had. Sound good?
Okay, yes, thank you.
Okay, so I hear Jessica asking, how do we deal with basically people when we start evolving and growing and we're on the move a little bit and they don't like it? Well, this is a really good question, and one that anyone in the growth development model of relationship and life gets. You're going to lose friends. That's part of the program. You can't keep all your old friends. It's not possible. They're going to weigh you down. They're going to hold you back from being your highest, most awesome self. So we got to, first of all, take it that it's inevitable that you're going to lose friends, and you'll just get new ones. And it's actually important that you let go of old friendships that no longer serve so that you can make room for the new ones that are going to come along that are more aligned with where you're going. So part of the challenge that we have is people will challenge because you're busting out of the values, the sort of unconscious value agreements they have with you. And they want you to stay where you are, not because they're bad or wrong, but because they're scared. And it's a little threatening to see someone grow and they are unconsciously invested in you staying in the way they know how to relate to you. When you start relating in different ways, that's uncomfortable for them. They get a little scared and they unconsciously behave in ways that has you, they try to put you in a box and they want you to stay in the box. So them challenging you is good because it's really going to test you. Am I up for this? Am I up for the journey? Am I up for this hero's journey of going to the next level, dying to this part of myself and being reborn into the new person that I am becoming? You know, it's a real initiation if we're deadly serious about this. And I've gone through many phases of my life of losing every friendship I had. And these were tight, tight friends. And then I let them go and I moved on to the next place. And I'm in that process is going on yet again with me right now. Friendships are changing. So, because my what is changing? My POS is changing. So, it's a bigger question. This is kind of a class in and of itself, the kind of how do we deal with that? But you face it. You just commit to it and you will go through. See, if you care enough about something, you will move mountains for it and you will do whatever it takes at whatever the cost. And you'll experience any amount of pleasure and pain to get it. That's when you know you are committed to a goal and to what you care about. And most people aren't that committed, and so they will waffle and stay stuck and flounder, and their limiting beliefs will hold them back. But, you know, the people here, you're the kind of people that might be able to make a real strong move here. But some of this requires looking at our own enmeshment issues, our investments, our unconscious and conscious investments in keeping certain relationships status quo and not just being afraid of conflict and upset. You know, there's no problem there when you upset people. It's just uncomfortable. That's all it is. So hopefully that's a few guiding principles there, Jessica, that could help. But, the how takes care of itself. If you're committed, that's the first thing. You got to be committed to your own evolution, or all that stuff will kind of hold you back and you might let it take you out. All right, let's go Julie and then Denise. So put your hand down if I've already called on you, please. Julie, what's up?
Yeah, hi. I'm having a problem with my headset, so if you don't hear me, just let me know.
Okay, I got you.
Okay, so I did the POS actually 2 months ago, so I'm really happy to have redone it again just to start off fresh. And I'm curious because I used to have relationship in the top three, and as you know, I've recently split with my partner about 2 months ago.
Yep.
And I'm torn. Like I'd like to be in a relationship, and I feel it's still in my top three. My top priority right now is learning and growth, and number two is career. And I'm sort of not sure where to put relationship again, because whilst I kind of feel, okay, maybe some space and time for learning and growth or self-care.
Okay, time out. It's not where to put relationship. Your life already demonstrates. It'll be put wherever it's being demonstrated as. So it's not like you get to choose where to put it.
Yeah.
Right? It's already being shown. So when you think of it that way, where is it being shown? You count up the numbers. Is it fifth? Is it 10th? Is it third? Where is it? Right now. Not where do you want it to be. Where is it?
So that would mean, though, in terms of how I'm spending time trying to, because I'm not in a relationship.
Right. But you can be single and not have had a relationship for years and value relationship as your top thing because you're on dating sites, you're working yourself, you're doing all kinds of personal growth workshops. Everything you read is about relationship. That person values relationship a ton, even though they're not in one.
Yeah. Okay. So I think friends right now and family come in three and relationships in four. That makes
sense. See, it's not a issue. It's you got to do the exercise. Do the exercise and it's going to be shown. So it's not like a guess. It's not guesswork here. It's accurate as hell.
Yeah. And I'm confused about that. So I have to go back and do the homework.
Go back and do the exercise exactly as I'm saying. and count up the numbers. And you get someone else's feedback. Is this, you know, I like to get my wife's feedback. Like, here are my values. Does that seem accurate to you? And she looks at them and says, yeah, it feels right. Or no, that really, that's that high or that's that low, huh? And then I might retweak it, but only because I have to get more honest about how I'm living my life in my daily actions and behaviors.
So I saw that. I have one more question around that then, and I'm sort of realizing maybe there's some insecurity here. I almost feel like I shouldn't be wanting a relationship right now because I've just ended one and it didn't go well.
Right, so that's you subordinating to some interject someone said to you somewhere along the way, or some idea, or book you read, or whatever. You know, that's like you shouldn't be in. So then now you're like second guessing yourself. That's okay. But again, your actions, even though some people will tell you you shouldn't do that, you'll kind of secretly go pursue relationship or reading about it or something, and then feel guilty about it. Right. So it's what you're secretly doing also. So someone who is secretly has an addiction, that better show up on their POS because, you know, that's what they care about. And again, we're not into the moral stance here of right and wrong. It's just we need to get honest with ourselves.
This is very helpful. Thanks.
Yep.
Yep.
You got it, Julie. Excuse me. Nicholas, I see your hand and got your... If you're on a phone, sometimes it's trickier to ask a question. I actually don't know how. Maybe Nicholas can teach us how. All right, Denise, Nicholas, Lisa, I'm coming. This is great. Glad we got so many questions. Denise, you got to unmute yourself.
Okay, can you hear me now?
I got you.
Okay. So on my POS, I noticed first, I just want to say this because it's just really keeps like coming back to me. But like when I was doing my POS, I looked at the like all the little details of all the little things that I had on there, and there were like these overarching themes. There were these sort of like chunked up versions of that were more stable, like, okay, you know, my personal path and personal growth, whatever that is, whether it's Tango or, you know, learning Spanish or relationships or whatever, that's like number one, right?
Okay.
And then like number two is definitely like in that overarching thing, definitely is relationship, because like I spend a lot of time talking to people. If somebody needs something, I'm there, I'm on the phone, whatever, you know. I'm taking this course. I mean, that takes up a lot of my mind chatter, a lot of my stuff. And then the third overarching thing was a sense of like offering. What am I creating that I can offer? What am I offering? But then in those broad categories are like there's some things turning and churning right now. Particularly around Tango and my coaching practice.
And Tango sounds like it's in the first category because that's about learning dance.
Yeah, Tango has been in the first category for several years. I mean, it was my goal to, you know.
Do you choose, like, if you had to choose between this class right now and a Tango class that was your favorite teacher or you were the teacher or whatever, which would you choose?
Right now, this class.
Okay, so that tells us that, what's that?
Months ago, it would have been Tango.
Right.
Several months ago, it would have been Tango.
Uh-huh, yeah, exactly. So it changes. Sometimes it can change that fast and in a moment. Like if a crisis comes up, most of us will completely move our schedule. Like if you're a parent and your kid is sick, whether you like it or not, you will move your schedule around to go pick up your kid at school. Right, because you value that relationship and you value parenting and you value that connection. If you don't, you will have the nanny go pick up the kid at the school. And again, not right or wrong, not better or worse, it's just what's true.
Right. And then there is like one little exception that's kind of popping up, like Mundials was this week and last week. So I did postpone some of my coaching stuff to do this because this is a big thing in my Tango world. and I'm really committed. Like I had a dance partner, we were participating, and I was just really into that. So there are some exceptions to that, but the overall everyday, yeah, I'm really committed to this.
Okay, so do you have a question in here, or are you just sharing?
So my question is actually. My question is actually, so in this churning area where things are changing and like I'm not quite sure what I want to do with Tango anymore, and I really want to spend more time focusing on my coaching practice and actually, building my profession in that direction. And so there's just a lot of questioning.
Yeah, so pain will guide you here. So if you're in pain about something, that is going to be a guiding principle. If you feel like you're missing something like money or a relationship, that will guide you. Or you can be proactive and say, well, what do I want to be doing given all of who I am and my skill set and everything I've been through in my life? What do I really want to be doing if I could play it however I want? And am I willing to give myself permission to pursue that and go after it? And if you are, and so it requires clarity also that of what you want to be doing versus what you are doing.
Yeah.
Sounds like you're in the process here.
Yeah, I'm definitely in the process.
Yeah, it's fine. You're in process.
Okay. And then the question about sort of like noticing these overarching, like broad categories of themes. Are those really like as stable as they seem? Because they seem like the details seem to change, but the overarching, like my non-negotiable needs are around these things.
That's right.
And have been for a long time. Yeah.
So good question. This is an important distinction here. So if you're into personal growth and development like me, and it's a very, very high value and priority for you in your own life, that's the thread that stays consistent for me ever since I was really, if I think back far enough, ever since I was a little kid, but I didn't get serious about it until I was 29. And then I went for it. I just dove in, right? And I was like, this is my life. And I haven't flinched since then. But lots of things, the subject of what the personal growth is about changes over time.
Right.
But personal growth development itself is the common thread, almost like the North Star for me. That is my highest value in a way that is runs through every value and priority I have.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah. So whatever I do in my life, it better have growth and development in it or I'm not interested.
Yeah, definitely.
That help?
That helps a lot. Thanks.
Okay, Denise, thanks. Yeah, that last question was also really good for people to hear, I think. All right, Nicholas, dude, what's up?
Hey, man.
Hey.
So first of all, thanks for bringing this to us. This has been just a really insightful practice for me.
Yeah.
And I've really enjoyed it. My main question has to do with what you were just talking about, growth being your highest priority. So I looked at the past year or two of my life, and in one angle, it's pretty obvious that growth and development is a huge priority for me, just in what I've been doing and where I spend my time and all the reading I've been doing and exercises and the meditating, et cetera, et cetera. But I took it a layer deeper so quickly that I feel like maybe I skipped a step almost, but I was really looking at like why I was doing all this growth development stuff, and what I came up with was mostly a desire for security, like inner security, like I really was looking for and trying to find a deep sense of like just feeling like stable and at peace in myself and like strong, like, you know, planting my flag, like owning myself, like that kind of sense of security. So that's what I wrote down everywhere. I didn't write down growth or development anywhere. And that was confusing for a while until I kind of felt into how that was behind the security. So I'm just looking forward. I'm wondering, like, okay, do I want to just, like, I'm pretty sure I want to be more into growth in of itself instead of, like, just trying to feel good, but also I'm not sure about that. And also, like, if you could just speak more to what it's like to have growth as a highest priority, like, just in of itself, and then so I can, like, feel into that and see how much that clicks with me, because I'm just kind of lost there.
Yeah, well, I think your point is a really good one, that layer deeper, which is, why am I into growth and development? So if I ask myself that question, I'm into growth and development. Again, the answer is going to be different at different stages of my life, right? Mostly these days, it's, I'm into growth and development because I like mastery. I like mastering a skill. I like mastering my life. I want to master my entire life. And I want to be the driver and the author of my life. So that's what's motivating me. And however, in certain subcategories, like, let's say, finances, getting my financial house together is really important to me, because I also, part of the drive there is security in myself, that, okay, I have resources, I'm cool, my family's going to be okay, I can send my kids to whatever school I want, etc. So that's driving some of the personal growth in the category of finances, right, and money. So that's really good to know. And I won't stop until I feel a sense of stability and security there. And then I can move on to another area of my life, like another layer down of my health, for example. I've tried to tackle everything in my life at once, and it generally, like, being the generalist in a moment, usually doesn't work great for me. As I'm growing, I'm learning to focus on one or two areas at a time. And so I get to, at this point, I get to choose to point the laser beam wherever I want it to go and focus on that. And that's, that feels really good, versus being in reaction. Some of us can be in reaction to life, and that's going to be dictated by things like security, lower needs on Maslow's hierarchy. And this is where the non-negotiable needs play in and start weaving into this conversation. So it might be one way to answer your question, but for me, personal growth and development, the why, I just want to underscore, that's a really important question for anyone on this call, is to ask yourself, why do I care about this thing so much? And in your case, we could say, well, you care about security because somewhere along the line in your life, you felt or feel insecure. So you want to move towards security. That's a fucking amazing aspiration. Who doesn't want to feel secure in themselves? And I would say you're going to do personal growth work and value that and care about that until you feel more secure. And then you're going to focus on a different area of your life, whatever that is, mastering a sport, making money, doing X, Y, and Z. Maybe all that ties into security for you. But the void, remember, this is where your voids, it's important to ask Nicholas's question of why, because you're going to find a void that is driving what you are valuing. So that's a really good, I'm glad you asked that. Does that help?
Yes, it does. I'm curious. I'm, like, wondering what you, like, when you, if you write this down as your highest priorities, where do you put growth then? I'm very, like, detailed and, like, specific in that. Like, I'm looking at my table and I don't have growth there, and that bothers me because it's obviously there.
All right, but, cool. Like,
you kind of put it in parentheses next to something, or do you just put it lower down the list, or is it kind of just like you just know that it's under all these other things?
Yeah, I mean, this is a good subtlety. Here's how, I'll tell you how I do it. So I'll just read my values and priorities in my POS right now, which is, number one is building my business. And it has personal growth and development inside of that, because that's, the business is about personal growth and development. And I approach personal growth or my business from a personal growth and development framework, right? That everything in my business is teaching me about myself, that you know, there's all these areas of my business that are growth opportunities for me to step into. You know, so it's a personal growth workshop itself, running a business like mine. So that's the highest thing, because I will move mountains and I will say no to things so that I can focus on this. Is it personal growth and development? Yes, but practically speaking, it's running a business and building a business. So that's my highest one. The next one down is teaching. Teaching people about what? About personal growth and development through relationship, right? Next one down, you could say, is healing. And that means healing myself, healing other people, and being in that conversation, which is very much a personal growth and development conversation. And that's, I will spend money versus, I would rather go spend money on an amazing healer that has something about my body or my gut or something I'm working on, or my back, my shoulders, than I would go to a fancy restaurant, right? I'd rather, I'm going to make that choice. It's a no-brainer for me. And then the fourth one down is my family. That includes my wife, my kids, and that also is another personal growth and development conversation, because we are a personal growth and development household. That's what this household is about. So does that help?
Yeah, it does.
So rather than say personal growth and development is my highest one, although you could say that, for me, it's like this spine or the skeleton that holds all these other things that I care about, as is demonstrated by my life.
Yeah. Okay. That's much clearer to me. Thank you.
Yep. Yeah. What were you going to say? You said thank you. And then what?
Oh, I was just going to say, I have another question or two. If you want to come back to me, if no one else does.
Yeah, I'll come back to you. Thanks, bro.
All right.
I'm going to read Matt saying, the exercise was really efficient and revealing and timely. No question yet, but observing how my desired POS requires me to lean into discomfort around change and challenges around outspokenly putting myself first in certain aspects of my life. That's right. And then Matt saying, can you speak more about parenting and POS? There's a minimum requirement in taking care of two young kids, so parenting is automatically going to rate high on a parent's POS, or is this opinion an example of my POS? I'd say it's an example. I mean, depending on the household, some parents, they love the shit out of their kids and they don't want to parent them. They want to be doing their business. So they hire a nanny to raise their kids and schools to raise their kids in the bulk of the weekday hours. And then they might spend a little bit of time with them on nights and a little bit of time with them on weekends. And that because on the weekends, they would rather take care of themselves. They would rather do a little bit of work. They would rather be with their wife or partner, or they would rather be with their friends. And again, nothing wrong with that. Are those kids going to get certain kind of injuries as a result? Absolutely. Is that bad? No. Then now those kids have certain injuries around relationship and they're, you know, this father wound or whatever you could say. But that's from a pretty psychological standpoint. So, you know, that's what I would say, Matt, that it depends on where you have to look at your own inner authority there around, well, where am I at with parenting? Because we want to parent in a way with no guilt. We want guilt-free parenting. Guilt is a sign when you're parenting that it's like when you're sneaking looks at your phone or wanting to make up excuses why you can't be with your kids. That's a sign that you're shooting yourself, that you should be more involved as a parent, but you'd rather be somewhere else. What about just giving yourself permission that you'd rather be somewhere else and farming out the parenting to someone else, like your partner, a nanny, babysitters, schools, etc.? Again, nothing wrong with that. But you have to be okay and comfortable with yourself in that. I've transformed pretty radically there. I was the judging, super involved dad. And now that I'm really serious about my business, I finally get the perspective of, say, a dad running a business, and I see how all the ways in which I was judging was just really about the POS. Like, you know, at the time I valued that. I thought it was so amazing. I'm so glad I was so involved for so many years because my kids have that kind of bond with me and really foundational for me and what I care about. And now they're with me less. And we're all cool with it because I'm not guilty and shaming myself about it. All right. Hopefully that helps, Matt. Lisa, and then I'm going to read your question, Jana. Hold on, Lisa. Okay, Lisa. Yeah, I got you.
Hey, cool. Okay, so my question, it was really interesting, and the thing that kind of came up for my highest priority was kind of centered around, like, I thought it was friends and family, but it turns out the deeper thing was wanting to be loved. And a lot of my behaviors kind of were stemming from that place. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Do you need an example?
Yeah, give me an example. That does make sense, though.
Okay.
But give me an example.
So for example, what matters most to me? So for the first question, what matters most to me? Doing a good job at work, being competent, respected, appreciated, and reliable. And that's kind of related to my self-worth. And I come from a very academic family, and my dad always he's a really intelligent research scientist, and so he, he's always sort of pushed academics. And so, like, me being successful in a way, I'm trying to differentiate between me wanting to be successful for me versus me wanting to be successful to get the love from my dad.
Yep.
So,
all right. Yeah. So do you value success?
I do value success.
Okay. So we could say that one of your higher values is success.
Yeah.
And then we define that. And then we can define success, right? Success sometimes for you is getting the approval of others. And other times success for you is a feeling that comes from the inside that just only you and you know about, right?
Yeah.
Feeling like
mastering a skill actually really resonated with me when you said that. That felt really true for me too.
Yeah. So with you, I want to encourage you to go back where you put, like, what was the first question in the exercise? It's where do I?
It's what matters most to you?
Yeah, what matters most to me?
Yeah.
So you want to try to distill that into one word. So at the very end, when you do the exercise, you're just circling words and they're the same. And then you count up the same word like seven times. And you go, okay, I have seven words that's like success. That's all I think about, success, getting approval. You know, like for you, it could be, it might be revealing to Nicholas's point to go a little deeper in the success thing. For you, it would be, well, I want approval. I want others to tell me I did a good job, or I want my dad's approval. And that you might actually see that you value that above just about anything else, and that's running your life. And then you can decide, well, is that how I want to play it? Probably
Got
not.
It.
You know, I don't want to be driven by that void. I mean, a lot of people are in that conversation in this culture, like succeeding to get love, basically. But they don't, what's driving their success. Are you there? Lisa?
Yeah, I think my computer picked up for a second, but I'm back now.
Okay. I'm just going to put you on mute for a second. Hopefully that helps, okay? And I'm just going to talk for another second, and then we'll move on to Jana's question. So if you've done what Lisa did, where you've got more of a sentence, try to break it down into one word. Two words are the very most. Like building a business. That's my one, that's my one word. It's two words. Building, I guess it's three words. Building business. I could just put it into one word, business. But that's not descriptive enough for me. So it can be descriptive, just one to three words, let's say, so that you can see the themes that are the same throughout. And again, back to the personal growth example, it's fine if your highest value and priority is personal growth. If that's how your life shows up, that's the bulk of where you're spending your money and your time and your energy and your thought process is about personal growth, then put that as your highest priority and value on your POS. And then eventually you want to get paid to do personal growth and development type of stuff and make, because you have probably some kind of genius or gift there that other people need, right? All right, Jana is saying, I'm not in a position to talk, but I do have a question about the concept of only spending time with those who resonate with me. I have a friend who professes to be dedicated to personal growth, but who is very resistant to feedback, even when invited. So that would be a person who doesn't value personal growth and development in the way they claim. And all of us fool ourselves like that. He had that same philosophy that he will only hang out with people who make him feel good. From my perspective, he seems to want to keep from being challenged. How do I honor my desire to spend time with those who resonate with me without insulating myself from people who may challenge me in a way that could be important for my growth? Yeah, good question. Yeah, I mean, so let's say you're into personal growth and development. By that very nature, you're going to be around people who challenge you. You're going to put yourself, unless you're in a personal growth paradigm that says, let's have happy without sad, then you're going to get challenged less because that's going to be an over-supportive community. But again, it's fine because you'll attract challenge in your life to keep you more sober and more in the middle. So it's not like you have, I prefer to build in challenge in my life so that I don't have to attract it and be caught off guard by it when it comes. I like to keep my life very rigorous and challenging so that I don't have to add on and add in challenges. And I've got a really good muscle for challenge. So when it comes from whatever angle, I'm like, oh, my website just shit the bed. Okay, well, what do I do? My car just got stolen. All right, how do I deal with that? And it's not some big freak out for me. So you don't really have to worry. And if you want to be proactive, you go toward personal growth people who are all about feedback and are like, hell yeah, I'm open to feedback. What do you got for me? It's going to be maybe uncomfortable and hard for me to hear, but go for it. And then I'll take what I can assimilate and I'll try it on and I'll see if you're right because you're probably onto something. But, you know, I might feel insecure and defensive at first. So we can be around those types of people. Anyone that says they're not open to feedback, in my judgment, isn't open to personal growth and development. Unless it's a certain stage of their life and a certain category of their life. Like I'm not that open to feedback in certain areas of my life, mostly because that's not what the growing edge I'm looking for. I want feedback around the areas where I'm really on the move and growing because I'm more of a beginner. I have lots to learn. I'm all about feedback in those kind of areas. Yeah, so Jana, last thing to your point, when we seek out people that mostly support our POS and our values, that doesn't mean they're not going to challenge us, right? And challenge, yeah, I'll just say that. That's plenty, I think, right there. And I got, okay, here's the end. And you could find yourself in little bubbles and being, you know, over-supported in certain departments. And that's something to good, I think, to keep an eye on in yourself and in ourselves. Am I kind of have it set up over supportive? And when we do, like I did that with my kid initially because I'm like psychology guy and so is my wife. And so we're like super conscious with our kids supposedly. Well, it turns out we were over supporting my son a little bit. And so he got, he had a little trauma happen to him that challenged the shit out of him and our whole family. So that sent a message to me that I want to make sure my kids are getting lots of challenge in addition to this amazing supportive household. But I'm challenging at home too. So I don't want to pretend like I'm like Mr. Supportive Dad Guy. Okay, nice. We're wrapping up here in a second. And Nicholas, I'm going to come back to you. Lisa, if approval is highest on my list, what strategy can I use to live life more for myself? Well, this is an interesting one because you are identifying that you have a lot of energy wrapped up in approval, right? So how can you use that? Well, you've got to work the wound around approval. That's an injury that I would encourage you to work on, that when you balance that out, you're going to see that you don't need your dad's approval anymore. And you can live life more on your terms. And then you'll have a big value shift there. So like a lot of activism and people that run nonprofits, a lot of their where it's coming from is an injury they had as a kid. Let's say it's animals. Their animal got shot when they were 3 years old and they witnessed it. And they become an animal rescuer of types. And their whole life revolves around that. But as soon as you balance that issue in them, they stop being interested in rescuing animals as much. It's not as high of a priority anymore. Kind of loses some of the steam. So not necessarily a bad thing or a good thing. It's just interesting. And we tend to, we'll shift our focus then. Nicholas, go ahead.
I had another question, but I'd rather ask you to clarify what you were just talking about, because approval is high up on my list as well. How do you, where do I start in working that wound? I don't even know, like, nothing specific comes up for me there.
Okay, I would be looking at who you're wanting approval from, and typically it's mom or dad, and it might be buried and unconscious in you, but it's there. But that's usually who we want it from. But oftentimes it can be a peer group. Let's say we got left out as a kid. We got to move schools. We transferred and then we got hazed or bullied or ignored. It could be a first breakup we had where someone really rejected us pretty hard. And we have kind of now an approval thing. Like, well, if I just would have behaved in this way, I wouldn't have gotten left. And so we're seeking not only approval, but we're seeking avoiding loss and abandonment. So I would identify some of the core triggers and places where this began, because you weren't born this way. I'm pretty certain it came online after birth, and some causes and conditions probably in your family environment would be my guess, or schooling. Does that help at all?
Yeah.
And it might be, you know, some of us have no memory, so it's going to be hard to conjure that up. I would be looking at, well, okay, if I can't remember my past, then where am I most wanting approval in my life right now? Is it with men? Is it with women? Is it with groups of people? What kind of groups of people? What age demographic? What do they have that I perceive I don't have? Like what? You know, try to really zero in on who is it exactly, the character type, the demographic, like what is it about them that I'm wanting approval from? Because you don't want approval from everybody. You probably want approval, if you're honest, from just a few certain people or kinds of people.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, so I'd say the same to Lisa, too.
Okay, I'll feel into that. Thanks.
Yeah, you got it, man. Yeah, that's a good one. And I would, for Lisa and Nicholas, say where the approval thing's higher up on your POS. What behaviors come out of seeking approval? For Lisa, it might be being really driven at work and succeeding in academia or something like that. So you want to not get too complicated here. So I would focus on what the approval seeking is doing for you. Where does your attention go? Where are you most motivated? Where are you most driven? And how much is that showing up in your life? Is this really a big deal? It might be small. It might be big. It sounds like for Lisa, it's a bigger deal. So Lisa, where in your life is it? And that is your life demonstrating that you actually care a lot about academia, success, a certain income, a raise, whatever. That's what you care most about, and that's going to show up a lot. What's driving it, as we've discussed, approval seeking. But I think it's helpful to do both, but particularly the outside thing, like what you're actually doing, the behavior that then comes from that, because that's your POS. All right. I think it might behoove us to take a third week on this, 2 weeks from now, on the non-negotiable needs and how they tie in. Let me know if that would be helpful. If not, we can go in a different direction, but that might be cool. Okay. I'm going to take one more question from Angela because I just saw your hand go up, and then I'm going to end our time together. So feel free to step off if you need to, and if you want to hang out, please do. Okay, Angela.
Hi. When I did the exercise, I noticed that I also have the overarching themes of there's growth and connection to community.
Yep.
And my question that I've been wanting to ask is not directly related to POS, but it kind of ties in. It was a phone call I had the other night, a message I got last night that is kind of disturbing me.
Okay.
I had a talk with the ex, and I've seen him just a couple of times over the last few months, and I know that I can tell now that it was a difference in POS that caused a lot of our original problems, is he was really into connection and relationship, and I did not value it very highly, and start of valuing the connection more now and wanting to learn the tools.
Yep.
But what's happened over the last couple of months, I've only talked to him a couple of times, and the last time we had a conversation, I tried to really get the distress that he was feeling with regards to where our relationship is now.
Yep.
And the message I've got from us lately is he tells me that he thinks I cannot and do not want to handle his feelings, and it's too stressful for him to talk to me.
Okay.
And I've been trying to get where he's coming from and try to listen and be supportive, and I feel like I've got nowhere to go now.
Yeah, and what's the problem with that? Like, why are you making that a problem? He's essentially setting a boundary, right? He doesn't
yes.
want to go there. He can only go so far, and you've gotten him there. You've said, okay, I get you that you're like stuck here struggling or you don't want to go further. Okay, got it. And so why is that a big deal?
Well, I'm wondering if there's something I can do to heal the rift.
No.
But I'm not really given much venue to do that.
No, yeah, you're not. You're healing it inside yourself. So you don't worry about him and you. You're not looking for other to heal a rift. He's not open to that.
Okay.
He's asking you indirectly.
He's under a great deal.
He's asking you indirectly to go back on yourself and do your own work so you don't have to do any closure dependent on him. Like, honor and respect his no. Don't push it, right?
Okay. He's telling me he's under a great deal of distress, but he can't talk to me.
That's true for him in his world.
Okay.
And if he valued personal growth and development as much as maybe you did or some of us, he might do whatever it takes to work through that block of his and the stress and all that stuff, but that's not him right now. So don't expect him to be like you here or any of us. He's not.
He's stuck with his pain for the moment.
That's right, and that's okay. He might be stuck there the rest of his life. It's all fine. You might not want to relate to him after a certain amount of years or months. That's okay too. But it's his right. He has every right to be stuck where he's at and stay there and not work on it and do it his way. Make sense? Angela?
It does. Yeah, it does.
Okay.
I mean, where I left it with him the other night is if you decide you want to talk to me, I'm here. I'm willing to connect.
Yeah, there you go. And I may not be here forever, but I'm here now.
Yeah.
Yep. Because we all lose patience, and I don't personally want to hang out with stuck people in my life. I outgrow them, and it doesn't serve me. It's a waste of my energy. But you have to decide what's right for you.
Yeah, I really do feel like in the last year that I've left it behind, but clearly I haven't left all of it behind.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Hopefully that was helpful. Okay. All right, guys. Woohoo! Another great Roots call. Thanks for digging in. I want to encourage everybody to do your values, the POS, as much as you can. Like, I do it probably every 2 months, and it's really useful for me. And I like to stay sharp with it. My wife and I like to review ours, and so we can be certain that we have each other's back on ours. And when there's rift or tension, which usually is the source of me trying to get her to be like me or something, we deal with it. So, yeah, keep working it. I would review this with another person between now and next time, because it sounds like we're going to probably do the non-negotiable needs as it pertains to the POS here. I think that's going to be valuable. So meet with one other person, please, between now and then, just to kind of, just even if it's, you know, a short call, 20 minutes, 10 minutes each, just saying, hey, here's mine, what's yours? And if something doesn't make sense in the other person's, ask them and clarify. Challenge them a little bit to get more clear. It's too vague, or wait, I don't get it. Remember, and it's not what we think, and we're like, oh yeah, maybe I'll move this up here, move that down there. That's fine with what you want it to be, what you dream it to be, but the way it actually is doesn't move in this moment. It's whatever you just came up with. And if it doesn't feel right, redo it and do it again. But it's, you know, your life demonstrates it. Your actions and behaviors demonstrate what you care most about and what you care least about. Okay, everybody, thanks again. Cool. Talk soon. Ciao. Recording will be up tonight or tomorrow. Thanks.